All right. A lot of things to be thankful for this week. I am thankful that we have our own worship room. We actually have some equipment that sometimes works. Okay. Thankful for that. There's churches who don't even have this. Okay. True that. So, and I am thankful that we have Manifest doing praise. This is going on the internet. Okay. So if y'all want to see Manifest playing guitar, okay, we're at 5265 Port Royal Road, 11 a.m., okay, Sunday mornings. It happened. That just happened. All right. So, in case, Thanksgiving Sunday, and so we are very, very thankful for a lot of things, even though a lot of things are not working. But it's okay, because the Word of God still is unhindered, and it still goes forth, and still very, very powerful. All right. So today we're talking about temptation and sin, okay? And that's an important subject because, like I just prayed, I really hope that you guys listen to what people pray about and pray for, because it's very important, all right? And I remember this one pastor I met, Pastor Butch. This guy was about 75 years old when I met him. A retired pastor now, and I remember I met him only like four times, okay, and he was an assistant pastor of a church that Peggy and I were attending for about a year, and this guy was one of those people that, you know, Phil from Summer Retreat and my brother, we call these guys the Jedi Masters, okay, because whenever you meet them, you learn something new about yourself, about God, or about Christian faith, okay? And this guy, he taught me a lot of things. He only met four times. But one of the things he taught me was, when you pray and when you speak at church, be very purposeful, because you teach even when you pray, not only just when you're teaching or preaching, okay? So listen carefully to what people are praying about. But temptation, okay? Temptation, if you listen carefully to what the world is saying and what the internet says and the TV programs say, temptation and sin has gone from something that was bad, innately bad, and it's so bad that you should try to like run away from it. It's a pretty good idea. Okay, that's what the Bible says. The Bible says run away from sin, run away from temptation. Okay. That was a couple hundred years ago. Okay, nowadays people are like, "Oh, that's in the old days. We're smarter now. We know better." And so now what they do is they want to take temptation and sin and make it into something that's good. Okay, and so they have shows like Temptation Island. You're like, "What the heck?" You know, I don't think they have it anymore. But basically, it's basically like a super messed up dating show, right? So they basically have like this one dude, and then he goes on an island filled with like beautiful women, and then he just goes on, and then they hook him up with like all money and stuff. So he just goes on dates with all these women, and then he just picks and chooses which one he likes. Temptation Island, right? You're like, what the heck? Okay, so you watch that and you hear stuff like that all the time. And at first you go, oh, temptation is bad, sin is bad. But then you get bombarded with that and you go, oh no, temptation is not bad. It just happens, you know that. And so we get to a point where we're like, oh, temptation happens so much, maybe it's not so bad. Problem is, Bible doesn't say that. Okay, and so like I prayed before, we're gonna be very mindful about our thoughts, what people say. And as important as those things are, those two voices have to be quieter than what God has to say on that subject. Okay. And so you know, I remember when I first came here, right? Elliot and I, we loved each other, but not like as much as we love each other now. Okay, because you know I love Elliot, and Elliot loves me. Usually, right? But back in the day, right? So when I first came, like Elliot would be like, he would have questions about God, right? And he'd be like, doesn't the Bible say this? And I'll be like, where did you hear it? And I'll be like, I don't know. I'm just picking on Elliot because he's right in front. Okay. Elliot was like, I don't know. I heard it from somebody. And I was like, well, who'd you hear it from? Oh, I don't know. Right? But this is not just Elliot. You know, a lot of other guys, you guys said it too. Oh, doesn't the Bible say this? Isn't Christian life about this? Where'd you hear that from? I don't know. I just heard it from someone. Right? And so we have our own thoughts. We hear other people's perspectives. But a lot of times we forget what God has to say about that subject. Okay, so it's very, very important to hear what God has to say about any given subject, especially the important ones like sin, temptation. So that is just my really, really long-winded way of introducing the message today. Three lessons to learn from these three verses. the first one being this: God is not tempted. God is not tempted. Write it down. God is not tempted. Okay. this is from verse 13. Let no man say that when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. Okay. temptation. Okay. This is... temptation is... We're going to go into it a little bit more. But temptation is not sin. Okay? Temptation is not sin. And temptation is universal to the human condition. And we're going to get into that in lesson two. But, okay, so before we get any deeper, temptation is not sin. Okay? Now, with that being said, still, God, when we say God is holy, right? When we say God is holy, a lot of times we don't really know what that means. Right? God is holy. Right, or God is glory. Right, Friday we sat here in this room and we talked about the glory of God. Right? And some people, I don't want to say who, said God's glory is like sparkle. Okay, sparkle. that is the mind blowing revelation of God that I had this weekend. God's glory is like sparkle. Okay, and then subsequently because of that, another person said, "Oh, God's glory is like fairies." I don't want to say who said that, but, you know. Okay, so God's glory, God's holiness, right? We have these words from the Bible about the nature of God, and a lot of times we're like, we hear it and you're like, oh, okay, that sounds awesome. I don't know what that means. But the Bible says it, so it must be a good thing. And so holy and glory being two of those words that the Bible uses, but we don't really know what it means. God's holiness, okay? God's holiness is, it's a description of his nature. It is as if you will, like if God had Facebook, okay? It's not those like status updates. Like today God decides that he is holy, okay? No. He doesn't all of a sudden decide he's holy and the next minute he decides he's not, okay? God is holy all the time, okay? So God's holiness would be in his about section, not in his status update section, okay? For everyone does Facebook except for you for some reason. But anyway, just, okay? God's holiness, all right? So God's holiness is not necessarily what he does or what he says, but God's holiness is what he is. Okay, that is the general description of how you would describe God. Okay, if there was one word that could describe God in human language, it would be holy. Okay, so, but what does a word even mean? Okay, holy. Holy means, the easiest way I could describe it is holy means above and beyond. And I always think about, what is it, Toy Story, Buzz Lightyear, right? To infinity and beyond, right? It's kind of like that, except for God, it's above and beyond. He's above and beyond us. And further, he is above and beyond everything else, okay? And so when James says God cannot be tempted, God is not tempted, okay? It's because he is holy. Okay? So in his holy status, his holy nature, he is far and above beyond temptation. Okay, temptation can't come close. Or as another guy, another professor said, evil is powerless to bring God into temptation. Okay? Sometimes we wonder, oh, is God evil? Is God, does God even like interact with evil? No, God is so far above beyond evil that he can't be tempted. Okay, so evil is powerless to bring God into temptation. Okay, God cannot be tempted, nor does he tempt anyone because he is above it all. He is far above sin and temptation. Okay, so God is not tempted. The second lesson is man is tempted. Okay, man meaning mankind, not just guys. Okay, girls sin too. Okay, and so we're in the first lesson we see God is holy beyond the touch of sin and temptation. We are not. We are in the opposite end of that spectrum. We are absolutely vulnerable to temptation and sin. And it is here that we have to kind of discuss the role of Satan in the whole cosmic order of things. Okay? Okay, so Kristen and I'm going to call you Bob. Okay. Kristen and Bob, you guys might be too young to be like, oh, I don't know where God and Satan fits in order of all things, right? So you guys might have never heard the goofy phrase, oh, I didn't mean to do it, the devil made me do it. Oh, I didn't mean to do it, right? Or my brother and I growing up, you know, oh, I didn't mean to do it, he made me do it, right? He never said that. I said that to him, or about him. Okay, but it's in this equation, this part of the lesson of temptation that the role of Satan is made clear. Satan does two things. Okay, Satan does not. What he does not do is he does not make us sin. Okay, he has no power to make us sin, nor does he have the power to kill anyone's soul. So that idea of the devil coming and trying to like sell me your soul and all that stuff, you can't do that. Okay, he doesn't have the right, doesn't have the power. Okay, the two things that Satan can do, okay, and which he does, and he does it well because he's been doing it for a long time, is Satan tempts, okay, and Satan accuses. Okay, that's his two main jobs. He's the tempter and he's the accuser. Okay, and so the only difference between those two things is that the accusation part, Satan accuses only believers. Okay, but Satan's temptation part, he tempts everybody. Okay, but Satan accuses only Christians. Okay, and that's a whole other lesson. If we ever get to 1 John, that's where we talk about that. So Satan is the one who tempts us to sin, okay? So again, going back to that phrase, oh, the devil made me do it, the devil made me do it. I am guilt-free, I am guiltless because the devil made me do it. He made me sin. Problem is, he can't make you sin. He doesn't have that kind of power. Satan is very powerful. He can do a lot of things. What he cannot do is he cannot make you sin, okay? But honestly, it's not like we need his help to sin. You know what I mean? I mean, if you think about it, if given the choice, the opportunity to sin, we don't need anyone's help. It's not like Satan's like, come on, Cohen, you should sin. Sin is fun. You should do it. Come on. No one's watching. It's okay. Right? We don't need help. We are very good at sinning by ourselves, okay? But it is Satan who does the tempting. So what is temptation then, okay? And like I said before, temptation is not sin. Okay? And we know this because the Bible says Jesus was tempted as we are, but was without sin. Okay, so we know temptation in itself is not sin. So what is temptation then? Temptation is a little bit like Fishing. You guys ever been fishing? Hunter's been fishing. My parents are obsessed with fishing. I don't know about you guys. Has anyone been fishing other than Hunter? Yungi, you guys? Okay, so everyone's been fishing. All right. So when you fish, one of the things you do, right, is, I don't know about you guys, but when our family goes fishing, those rare times my brother and I actually go, is my dad always has to stop by at least once some random ghetto-looking dilapidated building. And you go in there and you pay, it used to be like $5, and you get a tub, you get a little tub. It looks like a margarine or butter tub, right? And it's like $5. And you open it, and at first all you see is like either dirt or like grass. And you're like, what the heck? I didn't know this. The first time I opened it, I'm like, what the heck is this? Right? And sometimes there's little holes poked in the top. But if you actually dig around the tub, it's worms, right? And it's not just regular worms. My dad tells me, he's like, you can't just use regular worms. They're not, that's not what you do. So when you go fishing, what you got to do is you got to get bloodworms. Okay? They're called bloodworms, honestly, for a really, really simple reason. Just simply that when you use them for fishing, they bleed, right? They're called bait, okay? So when you go fishing, you get bloodworms, right? I watched on TV that some other fish or those fancy fishing people, they get like the plastic baits and whatever. All right, whatever. You know, that's them. But, okay, for us, we get earthworms, or bloodworms, sorry. Okay? Bloodworms or chicken, depending on what you're fishing for. Chicken or squid. Okay? And so, but bloodworms if you're trying to get the good fish. Okay, and you go there, set up everything, and my dad and my brother have no—they have no problem touching bugs, snakes, worms. My mom and I are like, we'll smash it with our feet or shoes. We have no problem doing that. But after we smash it, we're like, Peter, pick that up. Right? Actually, way back when my brother and I guess he got tired of picking up bugs, so. We came up with an ingenious idea of getting a pet turtle. You can ask him what happened after that. So anyway, my brother and my dad, they have no problem picking up bugs, picking up bloodworms, earthworms, whatever, right? And so they're always the one putting the thing on the fishing rod. And what do? You throw it, right? You chuck it as far as you can, right? And as long as there's fish in the water, right? However small or big it may be, as long as you got the right bait, sooner or later, something's going to come and bite it, right? And when you first go fishing, it's a little bit weird because if you're really sensitive and you put your hand on the right part of the fishing rod, you could actually feel the fish coming and nibbling, right, on the bait, okay? And so that's what temptation is. Temptation is that bait. Okay? Temptation is that bait. And so being drawn into temptation if temptation is that bait, then falling into sin is like basically when the fish comes and what do? When a fish bites the bait, what do? You feel a huge tug. Right? It literally feels like someone just grabs your bait, your rod and just yanks it. Right? And then you're like, oh my gosh, this is the biggest fish in the world. And you like crank it as hard as you can. You take it out and it's like this big. And you're like, okay. But fish, right? I mean, they're all muscle. And so James uses, or I'm using that analogy, right? So bait being thrown into the water, right? That's temptation. So we see it, right? We shouldn't go near it. I mean, the Bible says clearly, when you see temptation, run away, right? But what do? It's kind of like the bug's life, right? There's that one scene where, like, there's two mosquitoes and there's that electric, you know, buzz thingy, right? Have you seen Bug's Life? Bug's Life? Kristen, you seen Bug's Life? Go home. That's your homework. Okay? Watch Bug's Life. Okay? There's that one scene, there's two mosquitoes, and the one mosquito's like, he's like, don't look at the light. He's like, I can't help it, it's so pretty. Right, and he dies, right? It's basically the same thing, right? There's that bait, and it's like, God's like, don't look at it. And we're like, we can't help it, it's so pretty. And we go for it, right? Or like the fish, we just go for it. And for some reason, every time we see the temptation, we're like, we're insane. Okay, the definition of insanity is you do the same thing with the expectation of a different result, right? So we see the temptation, and we're like, this time it's going to be different. I'm going to take it, and this time, for some reason, I'm going to mess with temptation and not fall into sin. But that never works, right? That never works. Like the fish, however smart they may be, guess what? If they chomp down on the bait, they're coming home with us, right? They're going to get cooked and eaten. We're basically the same scenario. However smart we think we are, however strong we think we are, the temptation is there, right? God says, don't look at it, run away, go the other way, U-turn, right? But we're like, no, it's going to be different this time. And we go for it. And we fall into sin. And so it's not like, but what I don't want us to think about is that, you know, oh, God or the devil is tricking us into sin, right? Temptation is some sort of trickery, right? God is punking us. Ah, gotcha, right? Because like I said before, it's not like we need any kind of real encouragement to sin, right? Satan doesn't need to come and like, come on, Hunter, you should sin. Sin is good. Sin is fun. Okay? Hunter don't need that. Okay? All Hunter needs is a little bit of nudge. The little bit of temptation, and Hunter's like, oh, snap, let's go for it. Okay? And so it is, as if you will, going along with that fishing analogy, it's kind of like we're a little bit like suicidal fish. We see the bait, right? And we bite on it. And instead of running away, we're like, oh, here we go. Go for the bait. Take it in our mouth. And we go straight forward to the fisherman. And we jump out of the water and we land right in his hands. Okay? I mean, that's basically what we do. And so if you go home and your parents ask you, so what did you learn in Sunday service? You say, I'm a suicidal fish, Mom. Jay, you're a suicidal fish. Don't be like that. That's bad. Okay, be a regular fish. Okay, so we are tempted. Third lesson, desire to sin and to death. Okay, desire to sin to death. Okay, and this is from verse 14 and 15. Right, but each one is tempted when he is carried away, enticed by his own lust. Then when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Okay, so James uses the imagery of regular life cycle. Birth, life, death. Okay. And James shows what begins with temptation, right? Again, what temptation in itself is not sin. Temptation exposes our sinful desires, and then our sinful desires draw us and drive us to sin, and then sin will drive us inevitably to death. Have you guys ever wondered why people die? Other than, oh, it's the circle of life, which is not true. The physical human death is not natural. Did you know that according to the Bible, we were not designed to die. We were not designed to physically die. Nor were we designed to spiritually die either. Okay. The reason why we physically die, okay, is because of sin. Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. right? And I don't know about you, but every time I read that, I thought it was all just spiritual, right? It's talking about spiritual death. But I never thought about the possibility that, no, it's actually talking about spiritual and physical death. Right? So the reason why people die is because we sin. Because the inevitable equation is you sin, you die. Right? And so our temptation exposes our sinful desires, and our desires drive us to our sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Right? And if you think back, and you could actually look at our church website, going to King David and his adultery with Bathsheba. Right? If you remember, right? King David. That chapter starts out with in the days when kings went out to war, David was at home. Okay, so he's in the wrong place. And what's he doing? He's just chilling, minding his own business, and he's just taking a walk. And then he sees a lady taking a bath. Okay. He could have just been like, oh, that's weird. Why is she taking a bath with the windows open? That's odd. I should just keep walking. Okay. But he doesn't do that because he's king, you know? So he goes. When he sees her accidentally the first time, that's not sin. That's temptation, but that's not sin. When he stops and looks at her again a second time, okay, that's right there, that's his sinful desire coming out. And then when he gets his servant to bring her over to his room, that's sin right there. Right? And so, you know, we saw that in King David. Right? And so, you know, the lesson there we see is, Elliot, if you're going around and you see a lady taking a bath, just keep going. Don't stop. Don't take a second look. Just keep going. Okay, that's King David's life lesson to you, right? And so, you know, the same thing happened to King David, right? If you think about King David, the great spiritual, like, superhero of the Christian faith. King David, Moses, you know, Abraham, these guys, right? But even David fell to this equation. There was temptation, sinful desire is exposed, his sinful desire drives him to sin, and he is, and his sin comes out in all kinds of calamity and death. And so the question today is this: what or how big is the effect of your wrestle with temptation? Because according to what we just read and what we're looking at, temptation happens to all of us. And this temptation exposes or reveals our sinful desires. And this temptation, you know, draws us to sin. So much so that, you know, the Apostle Paul says, you know, who will save me from this body of sin? Right? Because our bodies are filled with me, myself, and I. One of the greatest revelations that any male human being will ever have is the first 3 months of your marriage. Because that's when you come to the horrible, horrible realization that you are indeed, yes, that sinful, and you are indeed that obsessed with yourself 24/7. Okay? I came to that realization. It was so bad that I thought I was like the king of sinners, right? That actually went to other pastors and I've asked them the same question. Did you feel this bad when you got first married? And they're like, oh yeah. Are you kidding me? Okay? Women, for you guys, right? You guys are not, I don't think women go through that. Like, oh my gosh, I'm so sinful. Because you guys are like holier than us. But guys, no. Okay? Like, we'll do stuff and say stuff. Women will be like, your wife will be like, why would you do that? And honestly, you'll be like, I don't know. And then your wife will be like, well, because look at your choice. Look at your decision. It only benefits you and you only. It doesn't benefit me. It doesn't benefit the family. It doesn't benefit anyone else. Just you. And you go, that's true. Maybe that's an anomaly. Oh, no. Literally, like 10 minutes later, you'll do the exact same thing in another situation. Sinful. We are totally sinful. Okay? Men, we are totally sinful. We are hopeless. Okay? Our only hope is Jesus Christ. Okay? We beg him for mercy. All right? And so, the question today is, how big is the effect of our sin? Because we're all sinners. That's basically the lesson of today. We are all dirty, rotten, disgusting sinners. And there is only one hope of stopping the progress of sin's absolute destruction of our bodies and our souls. Okay? So when we're born and we have that sinful nature, we're already doomed to physical death. So much so that philosophers and even doctors say that basically when you're born, it's almost like you're a clicking time bomb, because you're just, from the moment you're born, you're counting down the time until you die. It's a very morbid way of looking at life, but that's kind of true in some perspective. And so the question is, okay, physically we are all destined to die because of sin. So the question is, okay, how far is our effect? Is that effect of our sin? Because according to the Bible, Jesus is the only hope, only key. We read in John 11:25, Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies." Right? What is Jesus talking about? He's talking about physical death and spiritual death. Right? And so what he says in John 11 is, if you will believe in me, if you will trust in me, even if you physically die, meaning when you physically die, right? Even though you die, you will live. Because he's talking about, even though you're physically dead, your spirit will live. And so, again, the question is, how broad, how big is the effect of our sin? It is as if, you will, a unstoppable cancer that we're born with. It's a terminal cancer that we're born with. It will inevitably destroy our bodies. And if we do not, if we are not connected to Jesus, it will inevitably, absolutely destroy our souls. And so that is the message of James when it comes to sin and temptation. We are all tempted. We all sin. Our only hope is Jesus. He is the only medicine that will stop the ravaging impact of sin. Because in closing, the scariest consequence of sin isn't physical death. It's actually spiritual death. Because spiritual death is an eternal thing. Physical death is a one moment thing. Physical death is an eternal separation from God. And so apart from Jesus, we are doomed to inevitable physical and spiritual death. And in Jesus, as he said, Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even if he dies." Let's pray.